Maar het is baie lekker om hier te wees. Het is altijd lekker om hier te wees in George. Het is een mooie plek, maar het is die mooie mensen wat het lekker maak. En het is regtig een groot voorreg om hier te wees. Het is lekker om in Amose kerk te wees. En dit was altijd lekker om saam met hom te dien op Stellenbosch. En het is lekker om te sien hoe hy groei en hoe die Here hom gebruik. En ook sy passie wat hy het vir God en sy teenwoordigheid. En daar is regtig twee dinge wat die Here regtig in my hart, op my hart druk die afgelope tyd. Two things that I would like to share with you. But before I do, I was just, as we were worshipping and the words came forward, and I think especially for those who are going through a storm, I want to encourage you that the reason David was not afraid to go through the valley of the shadow of death is because God was with him. And the reason God was with him is because God was his shepherd. In other words, he was following God. He was following God. And God was leading him. And God was leading him through the valley. He didn't get him there himself. He was following Christ, and Christ led him through this valley. And because he was following Christ, he was not afraid. Because he knew, God is my shepherd, and he's going to lead me through. So I want to encourage you, if you're in a storm, look for your shepherd. Look for him. Because in finding him, you're going to find your peace, but also your way out of the storm. So like the testimony that we heard earlier of somebody that was at the end financially, she had to find Jesus in that place, and Jesus led her out. So I want to encourage you, if you're in that place, look for him. When you find him, you don't need to be afraid, because he will lead you out. He always does. He always does. But the two things that the Lord has really laid on my heart the couple of weeks and months, there's two things that I want to share with you. One I'm going to share this morning, and the other one I'm going to share this evening. But this morning I want to share about understanding and knowing God. It's something that the Lord has really been pressing on my heart. And then the other one is about the Gideons of this world. There are so many Gideons that are hiding away in wine presses, and God sees them, and you are small in your own eyes, but God sees you, and he has something specifically to say into your life. But that is for tonight. This morning, I want to share around this encounter, one of the most fascinating and intimate encounters between man and God ever recorded. And this is this encounter between Moses and God. And I'm not speaking about the burning bush. I'm speaking about Moses on the mountain as he, in this process of receiving the law the first time and the second time. We know the story, but in the midst of this revelation of who God is through the law, we have this encounter between Moses and God. And Moses says something powerful. He says, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you. Show me your way, that I may know you." Let us just pray. Father, I want to thank you that you have come to give us life. Lord, you've come to give us life through your Son. Lord, you've come to give us life through your Spirit. Lord, you've come to give us life abundantly. Lord, you are not just the creator of life. You're not just the sustainer of life. You are the source of life. Lord, in John, you say that the Word was not just with God, it was God. It was not just through the Word that everything came into existence, but this Word was the life of men. In it was life, and it was the light that shines into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Lord, we want to thank you that you are life. And Lord, you have called us, Lord, to yourself, Lord. And we are here today, God, in your presence. God, we are here today knowing that you said where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are with us. God, we are here today, Lord, and we are asking you if we have found favor in your sight. Lord, we ask you to show us your way that we may know you. God, I pray that you will create in us a hunger and a thirst, Lord, that we may know your ways and that we may know you. That we may know your ways so that we may know you. And God, so we pray this morning as we together, Lord, that you will open our eyes of our understanding, Holy Spirit, that you will open our hearts, Lord, that we may see and understand your way, Lord, that we may know you. God, that we may know you. That we may know you more and more. In Jesus' name. Amen. Moses speaks these powerful words. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way that I may know you. That I may know you. This was during the giving and the receiving of the law, and this is such a powerful plea of Moses with God. It reveals such an heart of a man that's hungry and thirsty for more of God. He says, if I found grace in your sight, show me your way that I may know you. And it's so powerful to see God's response in verse 14. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I mean, what an amazing response to a man's heart's plea to know God. And God's response to this is, my presence will go with you and you will find rest. I mean, we all in humanity are searching after that place of peace, that place of rest, that place where we can just breathe out. You know, where you can just relax. We just know, but you know, everything is fine. Everything is good. Everything is at peace. You can just relax. You can just rest. And yet God responds to Moses' plea and says, but I will be with you. My presence will be with you and you will find rest. What an amazing response. But you know what? Moses was not satisfied. He was not satisfied. And he continued and he said, please God, in verse 18, show me your glory. I want more. I want more. And it's about this very thing that I want to share about. In Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practice steadfast love, justice, and righteousness on the earth. And for in these things I delight, declares the Lord. But what is so powerful for me is this one concept, that let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me. It's such a powerful portion of Scripture. The ESV and the NIV translation translates this word boast into boasting. Let him who boast, let the wise man not boast in his wisdom, let the rich man not boast in his riches, let the mighty man not boast in his power, but let him who boast in this, that he understands and know me. That's the NIV translation of this Hebrew word and it translates it into boast. The New King James says, let him who glory in this. Let the wise man not glory in his wisdom, the mighty man glory in his might, the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glory in this, that he understands and know me. It's so interesting that Hebrew word that is translated either into boasting or translated into glory, a Hebrew word that sounds very familiar because we know the Arabic word, it sounds exactly the same, but the difference is quite significant. The Hebrew word translated into boasting and glory is halal. Who of you have heard about halal before? Okay. And it doesn't speak about the food. The Hebrew word is different to the Arabic word. The Hebrew word literally means to praise, to be boastful of, to glorify in. And that's where we get the word hallelujah from. Halal
Yah, which is short for Yahweh. So whenever we say hallelujah, what we are saying is be boastful in, praise, glorify God. It is the root word in Hebrew for praise. Whenever you study praise and worship, if there's praise and worshipers here, when you study praise in Hebrew, halal is the key, the primary word for praise in the Hebrew language. It's the word that is used to praise, to magnify, to boast in, to glorify in. And it's so powerful when God says, let the rich man not boast in, glorify in, praise his riches. Let the wise man not boast in, glorify and praise in his wisdom, and the mighty man praise and glorify into his might. But let him who prays glorify and boast in anything, let him boast in this, that he understands and knows me. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Let not the wise man boast, glorify in, the mighty man boast, glorify in, and the rich man boast. What does it mean when God says, let the wise and the rich and the mighty not boast in this, but rather boast in that? What does it mean when God speaks these words? It means, do not find your purpose and your significance in this. Let the wise man not find his purpose, significance in his wisdom, or the rich man in his riches, or the mighty man in his might. But let him who finds significance in anything find it in this, that he understands and knows me. Don't look at riches as your purpose in living, or to that what gives you meaning, or to that what gives you significance in life. Don't look to riches to give you meaning or significance. Don't look to wisdom for meaning or significance. Don't look to might for meaning or significance. Don't look to these things to satisfy you. But find your significance, your satisfaction in this. Find your significance in this. Your significance in life, your purpose in life in this. That you understand and know God. This is it. If you want to know what is the purpose, the meaning of life, this is it. To understand and know God. People ask, what is the meaning of life? What gives us significance in life? What is the purpose? What is the primary pursuit of life? This is it. To understand and know God. It's so powerful. God uses both words to understand and know, and he uses it in this order. And I think that's also so important for us to understand. But I just wanna put this out there. That this is the meaning of life. Right from the beginning of time, man was created in the likeness and image of God. In other words, we were created different to the rest of creation. We were created specifically different, unique. Different to the rest of creation, with the capacity, with the image and the likeness of God, with the capacity to know and relate to God, to understand and to know Him, to relate to Him, to have a personal relationship with Him. That is why we were created from the beginning. And we can see that in the garden as God walked with man and man understood and knew God. Remember? Adam and Eve, when they sinned and they heard the voice of God in the garden, they hid from Him. And God's response was, where are you? Why are you hiding from me? This is it, people. That what gives you significance in life is to understand and know God, because that is for what we were created. Out of this, everything else flows. Out of understanding and knowing God, everything else flows. Our worship to God flows from an understanding and a knowing of God. I mean, without a knowing and understanding of God, there is no worship. It's out of the understanding and knowing of God that worship comes almost spontaneously. Praise comes, service comes, giving comes, our calling, our purpose. Everything flows from this very thing that we understand and know God. This is it. And if this is the purpose, the meaning of life, is this, if this should be our primary pursuit, if this is the thing in which we ought to find our significance in life, my question this morning is this the thing that you are pursuing more than anything else? I mean, we need to ask ourselves, if this is what life is all about, is this what I'm primarily pursuing? Because it just logically leads to this conclusion that if this is what life is about, then this is the thing that I should pursue more than anything else. If this is really what life is about. If this is really what ought to give us significance. So instead of trying to find your significance in wisdom, in riches, in power, we should boast in this, that we understand and know God. This is what ought to give us our greatest significance in life. Think about it. Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 7, speaks about the fact that everything flows from this place. Our worship, our serving, our giving, our calling, our ministry. Everything flows from this. Even your ministry and your calling flows from this. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. How can you do the will of the Father who is in heaven if you do not understand or know him? And then he continues, he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The reason you're practicing lawlessness is because you do not understand who I am. You've done lots of things in my name, but you don't know me. You don't understand me. If you understood me, if you knew me, you would not have done what is contrary to who I am. So everything, even ministry flows from this thing. The more we know God, the more we are transformed to become like him. I'm trying to paint you the picture of the significance of this very thing. The more we know, the more we understand, the more we understand, the more we know. The more we know, the more we want to understand. And it's kind of a circle of the more I understand, it's about understanding and knowing what I understand. I'll get to that. If you're confused now, I'll explain to you. But just hang on here for a moment. But the more we know, the more we are transformed into the likeness of God. Yeah, in Corinthians, you know, it talks about this very fact that we are transformed into his image and we become more like him in word and in deed. It speaks here, but we all with unveiled face, reflecting the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. I mean, it's such a powerful verse. Who have you heard that before? I mean, we've all heard that before. But you know what is so powerful about understanding? God used both these words, understand and know. He used both of them. He says, let him who boast in this, that he understands and know me. And it's two different Hebrew words. And it's so important for us to understand that he uses both. And he uses that in that order. When he speaks about understanding, it literally means our cognitive ability to get the facts right, to understand something, to understand the working of something. It speaks about our mind, our understanding of how something works, the logical cognitive facts, correct facts about something. That is the understanding in Hebrew. Then there is the knowing, which is the word yada, that intimate personal relationship with something. And God is saying, you need to understand who I am. And then you need to know who I am. It's two different things. You need to understand who I am. And then you need to know who I am. And then you need to understand who I am. And then you need to know who I am. And then that's why our understanding leads to knowing. And our knowing reaches out for more understanding. And it's kind of, the more I understand, then I first need to make it a reality, a knowing.
that leads to a hunger to understand more. And it's kind of a circle of understanding and knowing and understanding and knowing. And the more I understand, the more I have to know. And the more I know, the more I have to understand. Who have you experienced that of God? I mean, you start off with so little of understanding of who He is. But once that understanding becomes a knowing, it kind of opens us up to want to know more, to understand more. It's like a young Christian, I love it. When they first come to the Lord, they know so little. And maybe they've been in church for years and they have heard of God. But the moment that understanding becomes a knowing, their life explodes. And they become like a sponge. And they just want to understand more. And as they understand more, it needs to become a knowing. And it is in this place of understanding and knowing that something happens. This is what Corinthians talks about. It says something so powerful. It says, "And we all with unveiled face reflecting the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes by the Lord who is the Spirit." But what does, I just want to stop you for a moment. What is Paul referring to here? He says something so powerful. When he says, what is he referring to when he says, with unveiled face, reflecting the glory of the Lord? Who of you know? With unveiled face, reflecting the glory of the Lord. Does that ring a bell? Moses. Remember Moses when he was in the presence of God? And he came down in the mountain from the presence of God. His face shone like the sun, and the people were afraid. Because every time Moses came down from the mountain in the presence of God, his face shone, and they were so afraid that Moses had to cover his face. Because the people were so afraid. Because the glory of God shone through his face like a mirror. And the people were afraid, so they covered his face. And yet Paul says something so powerful. He says, listen here, speaking to us in the new covenant. He says, coming into the presence of God, something happens. But we with an unveiled face are reflecting the glory of God. And he's speaking about the very fact that as we come into the presence of God, in the understanding and the knowing, we are transformed into the same image of that what we understand and know, from one degree of glory to another. In other words, as you come into the presence of Christ, you become more like Christ, from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. And it's not something that we hide, it is something that we reveal. It's like, as you come to Him, as you come into His presence, He changes us. We become more Christ-like. And that's something powerful that I want to encourage you with. This is the result of understanding and knowing who God is. We become more like Him. We become more like Him. And I want to encourage you that that's what we talk about being Christ-like. That becoming Christ-like comes only from understanding and knowing. It comes from that place of understanding who God is, what He has done for us, and then knowing that. And in knowing that, we are changed. We cannot change ourselves, but God changes us. But it's in that place of being with God that we are changed. This is the meaning of life. This is it. The more we see Him, like as in the mirror, the New King James says, beholding Him as in the mirror, it actually means reflecting Him as in the mirror, we are changed. This is the pursuit of the Christian life, is to become more like Christ. Well, it comes from understanding and knowing. It comes from that place. This is what ought to be our greatest pursuit in life. This is in what we ought to find our greatest significance in life. if there's one thing that makes you significant in life, it should not be your riches, it should not be your wisdom, it should not be your wealth or your might or your influence. The thing that ought to give you significance in life is this, that you understand and know God. Because that's the meaning of life. And if this is the most important thing, then surely our lives should reflect that in our pursuit, in our priorities, if this is it. Because in this world, the world will tell you that the thing that gives you significance is wealth and fame and power and success. And it constantly bombards us with a different perspective to life. It says, listen, if you are wealthy, if you are a millionaire, it will make you significant. If you are famous, it will give you significance. If you have power and influence, it will give you significance. But we know it's empty. I always say it's fascinating when I was in England, the British nation is fixated by the idols of the world. The pop idols and the soccer idols and the Beckhams and, you know, the Gagas and everybody. And there's magazines, the You and the People and all those magazines full of all the celebrities. And they're all divorced, falling apart, using drugs, committing suicide, one after the other. In the midst of all their wealth, all their fame, all their influence, their lives are empty and meaningless. That is not what ought to give us significance in life. Because that's not the meaning of life. This is it. To understand and know God. And the amazing thing is, in the understanding and knowing of God, we are changed to become more like Him, who is the all-sufficiency of everything. Yet we get so distracted so easily. But both is important. Understanding and the knowing. And I want to stress the two this morning, because I think the order is also very important. Some people have a lot of understanding of God but no experience of Him. They have a lot of understanding about God but they have no knowing of Him. They have lots of logical, factual, correct information about God, but they don't know Him. They have no experience of God. And then there's other people that have a lot of experience, but they have no understanding. And I believe both is equally important, because that's why God says you must understand and know. You know, knowing is understanding is important, because you obviously can't have an intimate relationship with someone that you don't have the correct understanding of. Or even worse, incorrect facts about. How can you have an intimate relationship with somebody that you don't know and understand the correct information or facts about that person? It's like internet dating. Who of you do that? Internet dating. You know internet dating. You get the picture of the nice blonde, skinny girl, blue eyes, long blonde hair. The picture. Okay? She writes you nice stuff. You write this stuff back. You fall in love with an image, a picture. But how do you know whether that person that is typing actually looks like that? You don't. How do you know that the words that she's writing so beautifully is not out of somebody else's poem book? You don't. There are so many Christians that have this amazing experience, and I sometimes wonder, who is this God that you're in love with? You have this amazing experience and feelings, but do you understand who God is? That's why there's so many different people believing different things. And I'm not just talking about outside of Christianity. I'm talking about inside Christianity. I mean, so many Christians don't believe in a hell anymore. And have you heard this saying, how can a loving God... I don't believe in hell because how can a loving God send people there? Or
or you know, I'm a homosexual and I believe I can practice my homosexuality because how can a loving God judge me? You see, people create their own God that they're comfortable with and then they worship Him. And they have amazing experience around this God that they have created for themselves, a God that they're comfortable with. But that's not who God is. God is holy and love. His grace and truth. His mercy and justice. You need to understand who He is. You need to understand that this is a holy God, but He's a loving Father. That He is just and forgiving. You need to understand that. And then you need to know that. Not just understand it, but you also need to know that. So both are equally important to understand and know. Don't create your own God profile and then worship that, because so many people do that. And then Jesus one day will tell them, I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness. You who continue to lie, to steal, to corrupt. You never knew me. You never understood who I am. I never knew you. You were following a creation of your own mind. But it wasn't me. You were doing lots of stuff in my name, but it didn't mean you knew me. So that's why the two are so important. That's why it's so important, Christians, to spend time in the Word. Because if you want to understand God, if you want to understand, the understanding relates to the logical, the correct facts about something and someone, and that God has revealed for us in the Word of God. There's two ways in which God primarily revealed Himself, and that is the created order, the created world, the nature, throughout nature God shouts, shows His power and His Godhead and His magnificence. And then, of course, the Word of God. The Word of God gives us the correct facts about this Creator. And if you need to understand that you need to grow in your understanding of who God is. You need to spend time in the Word of God, because if you don't, and that's the problem with modern Christians today, we sit around sermons, we get influenced, we get bombarded by so many different preachers. We don't know anymore whether it is the truth or not. And people get swayed so easily in this doctrine and that doctrine. I'll tell you why people get swayed to this doctrine and that doctrine is because we don't know the Word. And if we just as Christians would know the Word of God, have a better understanding of who God is, we won't be confused so easily. You shouldn't believe what I tell you today, just because I tell you that. You should be able to know based on what the Word of God says, whether that information that you are receiving is correct or not. So I want to encourage you, spend time in the Word of God, so that you can get the correct understanding of who He is. And once you have the correct understanding, then I want to challenge you to take that understanding and then to know God. And that is in His presence. When you take what you understand of God and you speak to God and you ask God and you make that real. And that only happens in the presence of God. So you have to pursue. I mean, this week in Bible school, we have a prof, one of the top professors in astrology in our country. He works there in the South African Space Institute, which is in Hermanus. And he was saying something so powerful. He said, God revealed Himself through nature and the Word. And if science that studies nature and the natural world, if the nature and our understanding of science, which is an understanding of the natural world, if science and the Word of God, if there is a contradiction between the two, it's mean we're either lacking our understanding of nature or we're lacking in understanding of the Word of God. But the problem is our lack of understanding. So if there's ever a contradiction, because God created the natural world, so it will, science, that is the study of the natural world, will never contradict the existence of our God. It cannot prove God, because God is supernatural. And that's the challenge with science. Science only focuses on the natural world, and God is supernatural. He's spirit. You cannot reproduce Him in a test tube. So science will never prove God, but science will never contradict the existence of God, because God created the natural world and everything expresses. But if there's a contradiction between our understanding of science and our understanding of the Word of God, if there's a contradiction between the Word and science, it's not because there's a mistake in the nature or there's a mistake in the Word of God. There's a mistake in our understanding of either the Word or of nature. Yes, sorry. That's the right one. So pursue it with everything. Pursue it because the correct understanding leads to the correct knowing. You understand that? The correct understanding leads to the correct knowing. If you don't understand that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if you don't understand that the Spirit and God is one, you will never have an experience with the Holy Spirit unless you understand it so that you can pursue it. So that is so important. That's why Moses says, "Therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way." Show me your way. God, show me your way of life, your way of truth, your way of living. Show me your way, God, that I may know you. That I may know you. So I want to encourage you, it starts with the pursuit of understanding. Once you've got the understanding, it continues with the pursuit of the knowing. Both is important. To know his thoughts, to know his ways. And I can't stress this more. It's a deliberate pursuit. It's a deliberate pursuit. If you want to become a biologist, you have to study the cell. You got to study it. In able to understand the working of a cell, you need to pursue correct understanding. The world knows that. They will spend years in studying the cell so that by the time you reach PhD, you've got so much understanding of how a cell works that you can start to discover something new. But first you need to lay that foundation. So I want to encourage you. You know how few Christians still read their Bible on a daily basis? We just don't do it anymore. We listen to TBN and we listen to God TV and we listen to this guy preach and that guy preach. We read this book and that book far more than we read the Bible. I always say you need to read the Bible more than any other book. So if you spend 2 hours in the Bible, then you can spend an hour in somebody else's book. But it doesn't help you spend 10 hours in other people's book and only half an hour in the Bible. Because you will never discover something new. You might discover something wrong. So spend time in the Word. I want to encourage you. Listen to this. Hebrews 11 says, "Without faith it's impossible to please Him, but he who comes to God must believe that He is, that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." To understand and know God, both of them, is going to require diligence. It's going to require diligence. You need to pursue God to understand Him. You need to pursue God diligently to know Him. That is the meaning of life, to pursue Him with everything. Isaiah 55 says the following. It says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Forsake that. "And let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God who will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts." They're not the same. "And my ways are not your ways." And then he says something so challenging. He says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts different to your thoughts." As a matter of fact, there's a massive gap between the way you think and you do and the way I think and I do. It's huge. Who have you discovered that before? It's massive. And then God starts to explain how to bridge the two. Because he wants us to seek him diligently, to understand and know him. So he says, listen, I want you to seek me diligently while I must still be found. Call on me while I'm still near. Forsake your ways. Take hold of mine. Mine is far different than yours. How do we bridge the two? How do we bring them together? While he says it here. For as I send rain and snow that come down from heaven and do not return, but water the earth and bring forth and sprout and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And we can go on for this, the significance of what God is saying when we talk about seed and bread. And we know we've been in church long enough. But I just want to say something here. He says this thing here. It's so big, so bad, so far the distance, not bad, but massive. In the same way as the heavens are from the earth, so is my thoughts and ways from your thoughts and ways. But in the same way as I send rain from heaven to earth, so I send forth my, word. And in the same way as rain comes from heaven to earth and brings forth its purpose, so does my word. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. And it shall accomplish that which I purpose. And it shall succeed in the things which I sent it. Do you see that the word of God bridges the gap between God's ways and thoughts and our ways and thoughts? And that's why God says you need to diligently seek it. Because in it you will find life. But it is a diligent, deliberate pursuit. I have to stress that because in this life, the world will distract us to pursue other things, to give us significance in, to give us purpose in. Because that's what the world is geared to do. Don't be deceived. We are conditioned to follow emptiness. Because God is not found there. And therefore Jesus says, you know, we know it so well. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things shall be added. And he's speaking not in ignorance of all the different things that we pursue. Because in this life, we do have different goals and different pursuits and different priorities. There's so many different things and goals and things that we pursue in this life. God is not ignoring that. He's actually speaking these words in the midst of that. And he's actually saying, in the midst of all the things that you're pursuing after, seek this first. In other words, he's talking about priority. He's not ignoring all the realities of the life that we're living in. He's just speaking about priority. He's saying, listen, in the midst of all the things that you are pursuing, seek this first. That's literally what that word means in Hebrew when it says first. He's not ignoring our pursuits. He's just saying, make this firstly proton, firstly in time, place, order, importance, first in rank. In other words, of all the things that we are pursuing in life, put this first. And then he says, listen here, seek it, zitio, which literally means to strive after, to crave, to demand for something or someone. It's not just something nice to have. He's speaking about priority, but then he's also speaking about pursuit. What are the things that you're pursuing in life? It's not just a nice to have. You know, who have babies here? Okay, babies. You know demand. You know demand. It says, crave after, demand in life. Crave after, demand. A baby that is hungry demands. It cries until it is satisfied. And God is saying, listen, the kingdom of God and my righteousness, the understanding and knowing of me is not just a nice to have. It's not like the 4x4 third car that we use only on holidays. You know, or the second house at the beach. It's a nice to have. God's saying, listen here, my understanding and knowing of me should not just be first. It should be a pursuit in life. It's not just a nice to have. This is the primary meaning of life. Live like it. Live like it. Because in it, you're going to find significance. You're going to find life. Because it's so, you know, it's so fascinating. I was just, you know, thinking again about the fact when Moses encountered God. No, I think that's for tonight. Let's leave that. Let's leave that. Let's leave that. But you understand, Jesus says, blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. My question is this morning, what are you hungry and thirsty for? What do you really want in life? Are you pursuing wealth, riches? Are you pursuing wisdom? Are you pursuing influence? Are you pursuing might? What are the things that you're pursuing to give you significance? What are the things that you really want in life? What is it that you really want in life? What is the thing that you're pursuing more than anything? Because whatever you really want in life, that will determine what you are satisfied with. What you're hungry and thirsty for will determine what you're satisfied with. And I really believe God is just challenging us everywhere. What is your pursuit in life? What do you really want? What is the priority in your life? What is the thing that you're hungry and thirsty for more than anything else? Because that will determine what you're satisfied with. And if it's not me, you will be satisfied with nothing. And that's the world for us. They never have enough. They never have enough wealth. They never have enough fame. They never have enough influence. It just keeps on going and going and going because it's empty. It is empty. So what is it that we pursue, that we find our greatest significance in? God is saying, let him who boast in this, that he understands and know me. This is it. And I want to encourage you with that. Today, it's just an opportunity again to reboot our system, to format the hard drive with all these different programs that's running that slows down everything. You know that? If you've got PC, yeah. If you've got Apple, just give it 3 years and then it's Nemelifi. And from time to time, we've got just so many different programs running that the main program becomes so slow. So I really believe God is just wanting to reboot our system this morning. Where we can just say, okay, let's just format everything and place the pursuits back on. But let's place it back in order of importance, of significance. Let our lives start to reflect that order and significance. Because this is it. This is it. To understand and know God. So yes, spending time every day in God's Word isn't not just a good pursuit. It is an ultimate pursuit. It's an ultimate pursuit. And I'm not talking about 4 hours. I challenge my church just to spend 15 minutes a day. Just 15 minutes a day in the Word of God. I can guarantee you, after 30 days, you will not just spend 15 minutes in His Word. It will change your life. But it is an ultimate pursuit. More than anything else that you're ultimately pursuing, this is an ultimate pursuit, spending time. And then, taking that, what you understand, what God reveals for you, take it to God in His presence and say, God, I want to know this. I want to know Christ. Like Paul says, you know, when he speaks about his CV, you can go read that. I think it's in Philippians. Where does he write about all the things that he used to be that he counts as rubbish? You know that portion of Scripture? Go read what he writes. Why does he count that as rubbish? Dung. It's in the pursuit of the excellence of the knowledge of you that all these things means nothing. His hunger and his thirst for that. I want to encourage you to make that. And in conclusion, I want you to close your eyes and I'm going to read
the entire Isaiah 55 and listen to what is the result. Listen to what is the result. And just before I do, there's some people here. I don't know who you are, but I just sense God showed me that there's somebody here. Somebody told you, you are wasting your life away in pursuing God. You are wasting your life away. Well, let me challenge you. Waste it away in knowing and understanding God. There is nothing better to waste your life over. It's not a waste. It's not a waste. It is what gives you ultimately significance in this life and the life to come. There is nothing in this life that we're taking out. Nothing. The only thing that we're taking out is our understanding and knowing God. And that determines everything. So it is a lie that you are wasting your life away in church. It is a lie. I want to encourage you, pursue it with everything. It's not a waste. It's not a waste. Let us read this. Oh, well, I'll read. You close your eyes. I'll read. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and you, your soul, shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness, as an example to the people, a leader and commander of the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God who will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain come down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. Now listen to the result. Listen to the result. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth in singing before you. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of a thorn, you shall become a cypress tree. Instead of a bearer, you shall become a myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that you shall not be cut off. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Father, that we can come to you, Lord. And we can incline our ear. We can listen. We can seek. We can pursue you, God. And Lord, we can spend ourselves, Lord, on you. Not on the world, not on emptiness, but on you, God. We can spend ourselves on you, God. And know in you there is life, Lord. And in you, Lord, there's fullness of joy, God. And as we understand and know you, God, you are the one that transforms us, Lord, from glory to glory into the very image of your Son. And as we become more like him, we become more partaking of the fullness that is within him. The love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the kindness, the self-control, the abundance of rest that is found in the knowledge of you
in the love of you, God, in your presence, God. I thank you, God, that as we spend time pursuing an understanding of how you see us and a knowing of how you see us, a knowing of you, God, we are changed, God. We are changed to become that very thing that you see us. Lord, I thank you, Father, that in that place there is fullness, abundance. There is rest, there is provision. Lord, there's everything that we need. Everything that we need is found in you. Lord, you say, I am who I am. I am your all-sufficiency. I am everything that you need. I am. Lord, I thank you, God, that in you is everything that we need, that we long for, that we desire, Lord. It is found in you. God, I pray today, Lord, that we will again reboot, format our lives and all the pursuits, and we'll place them back one by one, but with you on top, Lord. With you on top. Lord, so I want to pray specifically for us today, Lord, as we are seated here, Lord, that you will just come by your Spirit, Lord, and you will just reboot our hearts. So right now where you are seated, I just believe you must just respond. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I just want you just to respond to God's word. Say, Lord, I want you to come by your Spirit, Lord, and I want you to reboot, to format my heart and my mind. Just show me all the stuff, Lord, that I'm running in the background. Lord, I pray that you will just take it away. Lord, just for a moment in time. Lord, all our pursuits, all the thing that we are working for and planning for and dreaming about, Lord, I just pray in a moment of time, Lord, that you will just for a moment take it away. That only you remain. Only you remain. Lord, I pray that you will clear the room of our minds, of our hearts, Lord, from everything. Let only you remain. Father, we want to add to this clean space. Lord, I pray that you take away the fears, the concerns, the uncertainties, the worry, the future. Lord, everything, I pray you'll take that away as well. That only you remain. Lord, I pray that we will take the pursuits, not the fears, not the worry, not the insecurities, not the uncertainties. Lord, just take that away from us. Because in you, God, we put our faith, our trust. You say we should not worry about this life, but we must seek you, God, first. And Lord, in the midst of that space, Lord, I pray that we would, during this week, Lord, start to put back the other pursuits, our careers, our families, our retirement, our holiday, all those things. God, I pray that we will bring it back into this space, God, but in the right order. Lord, I pray that you will help some of us here, Lord, just to get the order right underneath you when it comes to career and family and church and all these things, Lord, that are so important. Lord, I pray that you will help us, Lord, to put it back in the right order. Lord, I pray that you will come and teach us to do it in the right order. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to keep you there first, always. And Lord, in you having you the head, Lord, is bringing a blessing over all these things. As we position it under you, Lord, I thank you, God, that there is a blessing. There is a blessing when we start to place it under you, God. Lord, so I pray even as people place their careers and their relationships and their families, Lord, as they start to place it, Lord, under you, Lord, I thank you, God, that you will bring a blessing to it. A blessing to it in Jesus' name, Lord. Just a blessing. And while we're doing this, if you are not sure if giving all is worth it, if there are things and people that you know you have to let go to put God first, I really want to pray for you. And if you're struggling, I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I just want you to raise your hand. If there are things and people that you know you'll have to, thank you for that hand, you'll have to let go, thank you. You'll have to let go to put God first, and it's difficult.
Father, I just pray that you will see these hearts, Lord, as they respond. You can drop your hands as they respond, Lord. I pray for each and every person, Lord, that knows about these things and people, Lord, that they will have to let go to put you first, Lord. And they're not sure whether it's worth it, Lord. They're not sure whether they have the power to do this, Lord. I thank you, Father, that today you are speaking to them and you're saying that this is it, to understand and know me, and that you're going to fill them, God. You're going to fill that space, Lord, that people and things are leaving in their lives and they're afraid of. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're going to fill them with you and your presence. Lord, I thank you that your presence, Lord, will fill those emptiness and that uncertainties, Lord, and that fears, Lord. Lord, I pray that even right now, Lord, that you will give them the boldness because you are speaking to them specifically about these things and these people, Lord, and you're saying, put me first. Put me first. And all these other things shall be added to you in due time, in due season. But put me first. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you're going to help them, Lord, to put them aside and you first, Lord. And maybe you are here today. Maybe you know that you have gone far astray. But God is speaking to you today that it's time to return. It's time to return to Him. Start all over again. That was Isaiah 55 for you. Call on Him while He is near, because He will abundantly pardon you. If that is you and you know you've turned away far from Him, God is calling you back. If that is you, just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but you know, thank you for that hand. Father, I pray for these lives, Lord. I pray, Father, I pray that as they respond to you today, Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are saying, Lord, that I'm embracing you today. I'm embracing you today as my own, as my child. I'm taking you up again. I'm taking you up again. I'm taking away your past. I'm taking away your past. Today, as you call my name, I am hearing, I am seeing, and I am removing the past. I'm removing the past from you as far as the east is from the west. I'm taking it away from you. I'm taking it away. Your identity is not shaped by your past. It is shaped by your future. It is shaped by the one you are following. Lord, I thank you, Father, that as they're choosing today, Lord, to acknowledge before you, Lord, that they need to turn back to you, Lord, I thank you, God, that you will lead them. Lord, I pray that they will open their eyes, Lord, to see you daily, Lord. I pray that they will wake up every morning with an expectation to see you, to see your word, to see your example, to hear your voice, and to follow you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're going to lead them. You're going to lead them to where there's life. Even if it goes through the valley, Lord, they will not be afraid again. They will not stop following you. They will not look to circumstances, but they will keep their eyes fixed on you, Lord. And they will follow you through the valleys until they get to the other side, Lord, where there is abundance, where there's peace, where there's joy, where there's an overflowing and a feast going on, Lord. God, I want to pray, Lord, that they will never let you go again in Jesus' name. But I thank you, God, that today is a new day of following you. So, Lord, we pray as we leave this place, God, as we leave this place, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will come and that you will fill us with more of you, a greater understanding and a greater knowing, God. And, Lord, I pray that you will come and change us to become the very thing that we know in Christ. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.